Complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he may open and apply his word as he would have it, sovereignly, for us as we gather together this morning. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. And verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear friends, there comes times in the lives of the Lord's people when certain scriptures seem to have a stronger application than at other times. And we thank the Lord where he does grant that help, that upholding, that uplifting, through his holy word, and applies the truths contained in his holy scriptures. These are the words of Peter. Oh, how he knew the need to cast all his care upon the Lord. We all have our cares, don't we? I don't suppose any of us here this morning are without a care, a concern in our daily lives, in our duties, responsibilities, in all matters that arise daily. And they can cause us great concerns, fears, because of uncertainties and what may come to pass through them. My friends, all our lives, I'm sure, this morning in the practical aspects of them are very different. Now, we know not what another day may bring forth. We have those expectations of what will come to pass. Some are hopes, some are fears. Oh, we are subject, aren't we, to the things of this earth in our bodies continually. And they have effect upon our minds and upon our souls. You children, you have your cares, don't you? You have your concerns. At school, perhaps you have a concern that you do not understand that what you're being taught as well as you should do. Maybe you have some concerns and cares regarding those who you mix with. Some may be friends and some may be not friends. Some may deal with you unkindly. And their concerns, their cares to you. There may be the teaching in these days which doesn't seem to be really right from what you're taught by your parents or maybe in the Sunday school. And they can cause you to question one thing and another, and it becomes a concern and a care to you as you grow. Your health and strength. When you have sicknesses, we all have sicknesses, don't we? And that can be a great care and concern to you. And as we grow, young people, oh, how those cares seem to only increase. As through the changing scenes one comes to and passes through physically, mentally, having to consider many new aspects of life. Further higher education, more independence, us, having to stand alone making decisions. And when things do not come to pass as one wishes and one hopes, what a concern, and they become great cares, don't they? How shall we do? What shall we do? How can we manage this? Shall I change my ideas? And all those sort of things come to pass. And then, yes, there's health and strength there, and maybe friendships, and long-lasting friendships in the longer term. And each of us, dear friends, we only perhaps as we carry on in life see our cares and matters only increase. Oh, cares of others, whether they're younger, perhaps our younger ones, children of our families and the wider family and older people, those who need attention, and oh, we have to consider them and cast our cares upon them and for them, as well as our business and the provision of the necessary things of life, the finances and our homes and all that is necessary to be provided. Or we can go on and we can go on, can't we? Personal cares, cares maybe in the neighbourhood, cares concerning those who live near to us and what their behaviour is and how they conduct themselves, it may affect us. Cares in the churches. Oh, there's no complete unity, is there? There's no perfect church. And how matters can arise there and affect us. And in our nation, oh, how solemn things we passing through even at today. With solemn decisions which have been taken by our government in recent weeks, even concerning the removing of any criminalisation for any aspect of abortion up to the time of birth. Oh, how that can affect us, may affect our children as they grow, when they're trying to be persuaded to adopt these things, and those in the medical profession. And the promotion to end life early because of increased strong sickness or even other infirmities. Dear friends, there's so many things, isn't there, that can cast us down. Many, many cares. Now Peter says here, casting all your care upon him, Almighty God. Paul says to the church at Philippi, be careful, that means be not over careful, over care, be not over anxious, should I say, for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, that there is prayer. The Lord is mindful, he is still there, he's ever the same. Casting all your care, praying unto him, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And David says, doesn't he, in the psalm, commit all your way unto the Lord, trust also in him. Why? Because all things, dear friends, are subject to Almighty God. He is the controller of all things upon this earth, and there's a multitude of mysteries which we cannot understand. But the one thing needful, dear friends, is to trust and have faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, that was the words of Jesus. And that doesn't come easy, does it? In fact, it has to be given us. Casting all your care upon him. And dear friends, the greatest care we should have is that of our souls. our providential cares, our practical issues of this life will one day disappear. We shall experience them and need them no more when we pass from time to eternity. But our spirit, our soul shall return to God who gave it. And dear friends, it will continue either in that dreadful place prepared for the devil and his angels, or it will be in that glorious place prepared by Jesus Christ, the suffering Saviour. Casting all your care upon him, first and foremost, our soul. Oh, dear friends, I trust you have. I trust you do. You commit unto him what you are by nature. You pour out your heart before the Lord. It's God, isn't it? Be merciful to me, a sinner. Casting all your care upon him. Dear friends, we can... there's no one else that we can commit our souls to for the removal of all our sins and transgressions from before a holy God. It's Jesus only. Oh, you children, as you grow, and young people, this is the one thing needful: to know the pardon of your sins, to know the power of the death, that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to cleanse you from all sin, to believe on Jesus by faith. And that's the gift of God. And the scriptures tell us to covet earnestly the best gifts. Oh, you know, if someone said to us, any of us, what do you consider to be the best gift that you need? I wonder what we'd say. Oh, when we come to times of birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries, whatever it is, and people say, oh, what would you like as a gift? We think of many things, don't we? But in our souls, oh, the greatest gift comes from the one who's God alone who can give it. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what we need. And we need to cast our souls upon him. For the scripture says he careth for you. You know, if we are given that concern for our soul, if we are given those prayers in our hearts to pray for the forgiveness of our sins, it is because God cares for us. He won't let us remain in the way where we are unbelievers and we do not consider or value what Jesus has done in coming to save his people from their sins. In coming to save his people from their sins, dear friends, that's our prayer. Lord, may I be amongst those for whom Jesus died. May I be amongst those for whom he shed his blood. May I be a sinner, but known and saved by thy grace. Oh, if those are our prayers. And oh, dear friends, I pray for you, you young children, young people, as well as all of us, that we're not a stranger to such a prayer as that. And it's not just from our lips and from our heads. It's from our heart. Oh, as we sung that little hymn in the Sunday school this morning, I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? Do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? For we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? To come, dwell within us, in our hearts, to convince us, teach us that we are sinners in God's sight. And for that Holy Spirit to make us and cause us to pray. And may we then, by that Spirit, know the love of God in our hearts. What is called the redeeming love of Jesus. That he has paid the price for our sins. And therefore we are his. We are bought with a price. The price not of silver and gold, but of his shed blood. The only prime payment, his death, for the remission of our sins. O God, who gives that prayerful concern for your soul, will hear and answer that prayer. And give you joy and rejoicing in your heart. You know it was so, wasn't it, with these to whom Peter is writing here, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's writing to a specific people. He calls them the elect of God, foreknown of God, before they were born, or before the world was created, all things known of God. And he predetermined, predestinated, as the word says, that they should come when they're born. At some stage in their lives to know the forgiveness of their sins and to plead that precious blood of Jesus through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Jesus came obedient to his Father's will to die in the sinner's place, and his blood by the Spirit sprinkled, as it were, like those Israelites in Egypt in captivity, or when they sacrificed the lamb, they sprinkled that blood upon the doorposts of the house, didn't they? And they sheltered inside beneath that blood. By faith, they trusted that when the angel of death passed over, it would not affect them. Oh, that blood of sprinkling. Oh, the shed blood of Christ on Calvary, whereby faith we shelter, pleading that it will atone for all our sins. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. My peace I leave with you. Oh, dear friends, when we know that, then we can know that the Lord cares for us, don't we? That's the evidence of it. It's not to be assumed. It's the evidence of the blessing of our soul. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we have that lovely word, don't we, dear friends, in Romans. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. How much more shall he with him freely give us all things? Give us all things. And he knows what we have need of before we ask. Things that may be good for us providentially. Things that may be bad for us providentially. But he's been saying there also that all things work together for good. To them that love God. Dear friends, those that love God are those whom he hath first loved. He cares for them. And he will guide them through all the aspects of their earthly life to bring them safely to the end of that time, to where they've lost all hold and idols of this world. And Jesus is the one thing needful, Jesus only. Therefore, dear friends, as we journey on through our lives with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and him crucified, our Saviour, the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our hope. Dear friends, this is a true word. We can assuredly trust in it. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That doesn't mean to say, dear friends, everything is smooth and well, does it? Otherwise this word care wouldn't be here. Casting all your cares. In this world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good comfort, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All the precious promises, all the promises of God in and through Christ Jesus are yours. You can plead them. We have in verse 10 what we read here. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Well, dear friends, we shall know that in measure. When we know the value of the sufferings of Christ upon us, within our heart, upon our soul. But the fullness of it will be known in heaven. But until then, we are to suffer a while. Because Satan is still yet going about, walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're living in a world of evil, aren't we, and sin. And oh, what effect that can have upon us. And we've still got those sinful hearts. We've still got our earthly nature. We've still got the lusts of our flesh. We've still got pride. We've still got self-will. And dear friends, there will ever be the care of our soul. Casting all your care upon him. For in the times of tribulation, troubles and distresses, it's the trials of our faith, isn't it? And how often our faith can get very weak. Satan is a mighty foe. He knows how to tempt us and trouble us. And the weakness of our in our flesh. Oh, what did Jesus say to the disciples? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Dear friends, we reason things out, don't we? We come into the circumstances of our lives because we're of this earth, earthy. We have our intellect. We thank the Lord we have intellect and reasoning power and ability to do things. And dear friends, if we are just left alone to that, oh, how we can become into difficulties and dangers and unbelief, trusting in ourselves and not upon the Lord as we should. But dear friends, the Lord works all things together for good. We read in that portion in Mark's Gospel of the sowing of the seed, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. And it says the kingdom of heaven is as a man sows the seed. And he goes away and that seed develops. It takes root downwards. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Dear friends, the Lord works that work of grace within us. We know not how. But the circumstances of our lives, he will use them to work them together. That at the end of our days we're like a shock of corn fully ripe, bringing forth that fruit and honour and glory to his name through all the way which he has led us. Oh, it was the case with Israel. The Lord led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to prove thee, to try thee, to know what was in thy heart. Dear friends, we have to lose many transgressions, don't we? Continually from our heart. That we do not live by bread only, providential mercies, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he works those all things together for the good of his people's soul. And it may begin very, very small. Like that parable we read there of the mustard seed. No seed smaller than a grain of mustard seed. But it grew to be greater than all the herbs. And you know, dear friends, that's like that where the work of God's grace begins in us. He causes it to grow. He works it together through all the circumstances of our life. That in the end we value the things of Christ, the things of the salvation of our souls, far greater than all the other things that we have to deal with upon this earth. Oh, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. My God, that's how they work together. But in those individual cases, those individual troubles, when we seem left to ourselves, not knowing why they've come, not knowing how they'll work out, they may be things we have to suffer for a long time. They may be long terms, long tribulations. We're to cast them all upon Him, for He knoweth the way we take. And as Job said, when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We read that account, didn't we, following those parables of the disciples of Jesus. Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side. And you know, dear friends, it's lovely, isn't it, in our lives, when we feel the direction of the Lord in the way we shall go, what we shall do. And His presence is with us. And we, without question, by faith we will say, obey His voice and take up that way in which He has called us into. Let us go over to the other side of the sea. And so they took Him as He was in the ship. And as they crossed that sea, suddenly there came that mighty storm. Oh, dear friends, we do not know, do we, what may come to us day by day. We may be in the way, I trust we are, and hope we'd seek, oh, to know His will and have the strength to do it. But who knows what may suddenly come in that pathway. Oh, this great storm, they were used to storms on the sea, they were fishermen, most of them. And those waves began to fill the boat. And they could see that, oh, they were likely to be drowned. The end of life, their death. No doubt they would do exactly what they'd done many times before when the waves had come over the sides of the boat. They would use whatever means there was to bail out that water, to stop the boat from sinking. But this was a hopeless case. This was far more than they'd had before. All their own abilities and their own strength was useless. Vain was their help, and vain was there the help of any others with them. Jesus, although He was with them, appeared to be asleep. Well, He was asleep. We read He was. He seemed to be unmindful of their condition. Oh, they were doing what they could. They were in the way that He had led them and directed them. There was really no need there to disturb Him, was there? But yes, there was. You may be like that, dear friends. You might be in the way the Lord has called you. And these troubles, something might suddenly arise to threaten your continuation, bring you into utter despair. And it seems as if you cannot pray unto the Lord about it. There seems to be something shut up, as Job said, oh, that I might know where I might find Him. But, dear friends, the Lord is there. His eye is ever upon you. He careth for you. He's got a never-failing love and His mercy towards you. This great trial, dear friends, is for a purpose. It was for a purpose of these disciples. They cried unto Him, didn't they? They could do nothing else. They were brought to the brink of despair. But oh, what a prayer. the prayer of unbelief. Carest thou not that we perish? Oh, dear friends, have you ever prayed such a prayer? In your mind, the Lord does not care. He's unmindful of you. He's left you to struggle as the best you can. And he will not provide. He will not overturn that which has come against you. Or you're going to sink into utter despair. Dear friends, it might be even in a lighter matter. Well, we think of Martha, don't we, when she was preparing food for disciples and Jesus. And Mary had left her alone. And she said to Jesus, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Well, we want things which are beneficial for ourselves, don't we? Even in the providential ways of life. Ready to criticise maybe others who perhaps we think should be helping us more than they should. Dear friends, who knows what their exercises are? Who knows what they are walking out and walking in? There was Mary at the feet of Jesus. Oh, she was doing something far greater for her own soul than what Martha was doing, good as it was, for the help of others. Oh, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered and careful over many things. One thing is needful. She needed rebuke, didn't she? And these disciples needed rebuke. Although Jesus would not let them be tempted above what they were able, but with that temptation they made a way to escape. He rose up, he rebuked the winds, he rebuked the waves, and there was a great calm. Oh, dear friends, they needed the rebuke, don't they? Where is thy faith? How is it thou hast no faith? That means no faith in exercise. They had little faith still, which the Lord had given them to cry unto him in their trouble, yes. It was the only thing they could do, even though he seemed to be unmindful of them. Their heart was cried out, even though in those unbelieving words. But the Lord knows the frames of his people. He knows that they are but dust. Oh, Christ was made like unto his brethren, but he without sin. He with all power to blot out their transgressions. Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt, as he says in another gospel. Dear friends, when they saw the work of God, the work of Christ, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. They came into a greater knowledge, didn't they, of whom this Jesus was, who had said, "Let us depart and go to the other side." Oh, how they grew in the knowledge of the Son of God. What manner of man is this? Yes, made like unto his brethren, but he was not as the brethren, dead in trespasses and in sins. He was the Son of God. And dear friends, so it is today. Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Cry unto him in the time of our need. Call upon him in the days of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the purpose of these troubles and difficulties, isn't it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, my mind's just gone to Daniel. Daniel was taken away from Jerusalem, from his own people, taken into captivity at Damascus. Oh, there he found favour of the king, didn't he? And the Lord was with him, interpreting those dreams, and he was exalted in the nation. But dear friends, Daniel was ever humble before the Lord. Oh, how he poured out his heart in confession of sin and the sins of his people, when he understood the words of the prophecy of Jeremiah. He confessed his sin. Yes, he had a high office in the nation, and again under the Medes and Persians. And because he was of the Lord and so favoured of God, those are the servants of the of Darius, the king of the Medes. Dear friends, they sought to destroy him. Oh, dear friends, what a care and concern, isn't it, when others rise against us? Why, they come, they said, they would banish prayer. They persuaded the king that no one should ask a petition of anyone else, that's of any god, except of King Darius. Then they would be thrown into the den of lions. And so Daniel, in that respect, was forbidden from praying unto God through threat of death. Oh, but his God was greater than all other gods. Daniel knew his God was greater than the power of those who brought to pass this decree. He opened his windows, he looked towards Jerusalem. There, oh, if any man prays unto that place, as Solomon said, looking unto Jerusalem, the Lord hear, the Lord pardon, the forgive, the Lord hearken and do. And Daniel committed his way unto the Lord, cast all his care upon him with thanksgiving. And it was with him, as we read in Paul, wasn't it? And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall rule your heart and mind by Christ Jesus. Oh, Daniel was a sinner saved by grace. There was his peace, knowing no one could do anything unto him. Fear not, man can do unto us. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Dear friends, that's the same today. Now look, they saw Daniel, didn't they? They went and told the king. They said he must be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The Lord didn't deliver him from the lion's den. You know, when we pray and commit our cares unto the Lord, perhaps we desire that, oh, that trouble be completely removed from us. We may have to experience going into it, as Daniel did. He had to be put, he was put into that lion's den, and the hungry lions were there, and the stone was laid upon the top of the pit and sealed with the king's seal. Sure and certain death was expected of Daniel. Oh, but Darius came the morning, is thy God able to save thee from the mouth of the lions? Oh, yes, O king, God hath sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Oh, dear friends, what an exercise that was of faith, wasn't it? Daniel, a man of faith, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And, dear friends, he exulted. The exalted God, didn't he? Oh, what a great exaltation there was to God, not just from Daniel, but from the king and all those of the king's people. For he declared that they should all worship the God of Daniel. Who can tell? Who can tell what the Lord may bring to pass through all of our cares, our difficulties, our trials, our troubles? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What one last thing, Jehoshaphat, in the Old Testament. Oh no, perhaps not the Old Testament. Let us just stay with Peter. Peter knew what it was to cast all his care upon the Lord, didn't he? He knew what it was to be appointed to death by Herod. He knew what it was to be put in prison, surrounded by those four quaternions of soldiers, bound with chains, and the next day to be beheaded like James, who had already been beheaded. I've often wondered at that word. Peter was asleep amongst those four quaternions of the soldiers. I'm sure he was casting all his care upon the Lord, who had said to him, who is faithful that hath promised, that he would not die till he was of older age. when in his old age another shall gird thee. Peter wasn't old now, was he? It wasn't long after Christ had ascended. It wasn't long after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Oh, by faith Peter could cast all his care upon the Lord. He did not know how the Lord would work. He did not know how it was possible. He did not know what would come to pass. Oh, but that exercise of faith. And friends, what an exercise that is. And what an example for us, by faith, casting all our care upon the Lord. For he careth for you. He's faithful that hath promised. Peter came forth in thee in that marvellous, miraculous way. Oh, no one could hold him. His chains fell off. And he came forth, the gate opened. And he was delivered unto the people to do the work the Lord had commanded him to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And dear friends, there was a casting of his care upon the Lord, wasn't there? When that sheet, I think you children have had it in the Sunday school just recently, maybe even today, that great sheet let down from heaven with all those unclean animals in it. And God said to Peter in his dream, arise and eat. Peter says, I can't. They're unclean. I've never eaten anything unclean. And God said, what the Lord hath cleansed, call not thou that thou common. And three men came, didn't they, to knock at the door. Oh, what Peter must have known. What is all this about? What's going to take place now? Uncertain, but it was clear the way of the Lord that he should go in this particular way and go with these men. Casting all his care upon the Lord. And the Lord used him, didn't he? Through the ministry of the gospel to the blessing of the Gentiles of Cornelius and his household. Oh, dear friends, who can tell? Now the Lord may use you and the Lord may use me. The Lord may call us into what we may have to suffer. Or may we have to fulfill to the honour and glory of his name. Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. And dear friends, if he cares for you, nothing shall separate you from his love. Not life, not death, nor any other creature, as Paul says in that 8th chapter of Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave himself a sacrifice for your sin. You're his, you're bought with a price. All things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Then, dear friends, do trust in him at all times. Yes, pour out your heart before him. Cast upon him all your care. God is a refuge for you, for he careth for you. Amen.